to certain questionable elements in the following program, we must warn you that, gee whiz, you know, for crying out loud, gang, you understand that the following program does not necessarily represent the views of the management or the performer or anyone connected with the world in general. So, you know, you got to use your judgment, gang. Not easy, is it?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Hello. Hello, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, test. It's working again. Here's a little ad there I thought I ought to bring to your attention. It says you'll get a kick out of this. It had to happen, for God's sakes. It had to happen. It says it's hysterical to see the people's expressions when they try to make a phone call and find out that you have in your house a phony out-of-order pay telephone. You can now buy a phony out-of-order pay telephone. Well, now, of course, I don't know why anybody bothered to buy one. There's plenty in this neighborhood that you can just walk in and look at free, you know. As a matter of fact, every phone I go into these days is out of order on any of that, or somebody's ripped it out by the roots, which says a great deal about people's attitude towards life. Would you please, Bill? Please, there. You know, that brings up a whole ramification thing here, and I don't want to bring it up there. Not feeling the way I do here on this Friday night, baby, with the juices flowing. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, them diamond rings, baby. Yeah, baby.
This is the bridge, baby. All together now, gang. Let's sing it out here. We're coming out of last chorus. Oh, now you're just kidding us here, fella. Here we go now. Let that sit there. Just let it go there. Don't stop. Now, how about a little nose flute here? Do you mind that? Thank you. Hey, hold it there. Do you have after you've gone on that disc? No, take a look at the label there. See if you got after you've gone. See if you can find it. After you've gone. Hey, we'd like to You know, that reminds me, though, that's a scary thought that anybody would go out. That's the new kind. That's called neo-masochism. I mean, you know, it really is. Neo-masochism. You go out and buy yourself an imitation, out-of-order payphone. And it says right out of it. You've got it in there? Now, that reminds me, though, of one of those little terrible moments of insight that you have from time to time. What is it they call it? Satori. When all of a sudden everything becomes very clear to you, you know, boing, a little light bulb lights up over your head and you see everything in the clear light of a crystalline, very cold dawn. I can see where we're headed, since we're now buying imitation plastic phones that don't work and never return. Have you ever gotten, yeah, I see, you just hold it in there. have you ever gotten your money back? When you put your dime in, and you know the phone goes boing, and you hear it drop down in the bottom of the box, you get nothing out of it. See, nothing. And at the top there's a little silver knob. Have you seen that little silver knob? It says coin return knob. Do you have the same feeling I have that's connected to absolutely nothing? That knob is what they call in medical terms a placebo. See, a placebo is a fake pill. And you know what is it, a placebo, don't you? Placebo, yeah. Well, see, they use these in a lot of areas of medicine. For example, if you've got a hypochondriac, you know, this lady keeps coming, oh, I hurt. You have no idea, doctor, I'm hurting here. He says, well, madam, you were hurting over there on the other side yet last week. Oh, yes, but that's gone, but oh, my, it hurts. Well, eventually the doctor realizes he's got a hypochondriac on his hands. Well, now he can't keep shoving pills in her, you know. The next thing you know, she's going to turn green, you know. So what he does is give her a placebo. It's a pill that looks like a real pill. And he writes all kinds of fancy stuff all over it, you know, like in hoc, regular conch, in espiloc. Be very careful. Take these very carefully because these are very strong. Once every 6 hours. And you have to take it with 7 ounces of grape juice. Nothing else. Because if you take it with water, it'll blow the top of your head off, see? So this is very secret, the very special, and it's an experimental pill. Well, by God, you give her this placebo, and within 2 days, she says, you know, I feel much better. Well, actually, what he's given her is, you know, he's got a little, what they have about the curative value of your average lifesaver, you know, peppermint type. And that's called a placebo. And it works. It really does. You take something in your trap, and you actually do feel better. Because it's all mental, see? It's all working up there. And the pill somehow affects you mentally, and you feel much better about it. And I think the phone company years ago recognized the fact that a guy who puts his dime in the phone and gets nothing back is liable to kick the side of the booth out. You know, if he does that enough. So they have to do something about it. They don't want to give him the dime back, for God's sakes. So what they do is put a thing that he can press, see? So the minute your dime goes ding, ding, boing, down into the bottom there with all the other lost dimes in the Sargasso Sea of dimes. I just wonder how much Ma Bell makes a year on dimes that guys lose in those machines. How many times did that lady come out? Now, thank you. Will you please give us your address and we will mail the dime to you? Mail the dime. Mail the dime. I have lost dimes in Denver, Ketchikan, Alaska. I have lost dimes in Lahaina. In Maui, I have lost dimes at least 500 phones in New York City alone. And I've never... Have you ever got the dime mailed to you? That's right. Have you ever lost a dime? That's right. Okay, so obviously somebody gets a hell of a lot of dimes that are there. And you know what's great about it? It's the phone company doesn't have to pay income tax on that, because that's not income. That's actually a contribution. It really is. I wonder about that. I just wonder about that. They must have a fantastic cellar full of billions of dimes, you know, that nobody, you know, and they keep, you know, legally. They say, well, we're waiting for them to come and get them. I mean, all they got to do is identify themselves. We got them here. Oh, man. Talk about Captain Kidd. Well, nevertheless, the phone company must have realized years ago, you see, of course, that the average guy's got just what they call the breaking point. You know what is it, the breaking point? Well, you've hit the breaking point many times. You know, you yell, bang, your foot goes to the ceiling, and you can do superhuman things when you hit the breaking point. You know the old expression, you know, he had the strength as of 10? You've heard that, right? All right, what does that mean? It means a guy's blown his gasket. That the strength of a maniac is because he's totally out of control. He can just blow a hole right through the Jets' defensive line. Even if he weighs 20 pounds, if he's, you know, he's out of his bird enough, boom, he hits it like a projectile. Well, the average man has a breaking point, and I can just see the investigation going on at the AT&T, you know, the Bell Laboratories. They have a secret lab in the back, you know. Well, the front, you know, is all front, you know, where they're pretending like they're designing great new equipment, you know, and they take the visitors through there, and the Girl Scouts go through there where they're designing telephones that have buttons on that whistle Dixie, you can have a telephone, you know, where you hit one button, it'll play music while you're waiting for your call to go through, and you press another button while you're waiting for your call to go through to San Francisco, and on comes a Bill Cosby monologue, keep you entertained, you know, all that stuff. Well, the real experimental stuff is in the back room where these two guys are sitting there cackling, see? And it says, well, I tell you, Dr. Arthur Slaughter, we have investigated, we have found now the average man has a 1.7 millivolt factor of what we call gasket blowing factors there. And when he hits that moment, then look out, he's liable to kick the boot right out. So what we must do is make it so that he has a place where he can vent the anxieties and he can get rid of all them bad vibrations, you know. So we'll put the buttons on the top there, see? And as soon as he hits that point, he hits the button, he presses the button, and pretty soon he's over the hump. He's on the other side of the bell-shaped curve, and we have rescued another telephone. He has not blown the booth over, and we have another dime. on top of that, but of course, you realize when Christmas time comes, we'll be able to get ourselves a nice little bonus there. What do you think of that, Aschenschlager, huh?
Not a pity, and not forgotten. Oh, after you're gone, baby. Yeah.
I'm just going to get up, and I'm going to split, and I'm going to go out on that Route 66, and I'm going to leave nothing but a trail of smoke behind me.
After you go. Oh, yeah. And so tonight, we'd like to salute Ma Bell. After you've gone, baby, I ain't going to miss you. I'd be able to contact you for months. After you've gone. La-da-doodle-dee-dee-dee. But you sure as hell find me. No matter where I go, I get them bills. But I get nobody when I try to... You know, when I try to get back at you, I get nothing but a lot of buzzers and honks and a lot of ladies that say, well, that's in another department, please. And there's a click, and I got nothing but that big old buzz, and that's the other department. La ta ru ta ta tu ru pa pa bru du di du da du pa 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 da da ta ta ru pa pa da du du da du da tu a ta ta du du da du da tu after you've gone pa pa du du pa 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 da du du da da du ba da du di du da di yeah ba pa du ba da du pa pa du du. Thank you. That's pretty silly. Pretty silly stuff there, you know. Sometimes you feel like you're in the clutches of a gigantic, unimaginable octopus, right? Reminds me, this is WOR New York. And would you please give me a little of that cheap Portuguese music? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, well, have you ever tried to make a phone call in Portugal? That's a joke. It just reminded me. I tried one day. In fact, I tried 1 week. It can be charming, I suppose, if you're in Portugal. Say, friends, do you know what a Portuguese traffic jam is? Huh? Well, I'll tell you. It's when you're driving along the beautiful country roads in Portugal and you have to stop for a guy in his ox cart to cross a road. That's a traffic jam, and it really is in Portugal. And, friends, if you would like to see this beautiful country, and I mean it, it's a beautiful place, TAP, the Intercontinental Airline of Portugal, has the perfect way for you to see it. And listen to this now. On their Fly and Drive tour,
That means you get a car and everything when you get there, you know. For only $341, including round-trip economy airfare and a car. And, man, they just give you the key, they meet you at the airport at Lisbon, and you take off like a speckled bird. You can drive north to the fishing villages and the wine country. West to the castle country, or south to the golden beaches of the Algarve. In fact, the tour even includes accommodations, friends. That means hotel, you know, the whole bit. In the Algarve or Estoril, and the picturesque city of Chavez. So call your travel agent or TAP, and the number is 421-8500 here in New York City. It's 421-8500 for complete details. It's a two-week fly-and-drive tour, TAP's tour of Portugal, for $341. Listen, 2 weeks, you could hardly live in New York for that, right? It's a beautiful country no matter which way you turn. Come, my little Portuguese vixen. We will go to the Algarve. Thank you, thank you. I do that pretty good, don't I, Bill? Yes. Hey, speaking of Portugal, may I lay a little wine on you here? I'd like to discuss for a moment. Yes, this is the weekend coming up. Why don't you have a really great weekend? If you can't go to Portugal, lay in a nice supply of Costa do Sol. Yeah, that's that great Portuguese rosé. And by the way, it's only produced, this wine, in vintage years. They don't make it every year. And it's aged until the flavor is just right. And it's estate bottled. If you're a wine cuckoo, you'll know what that means. And it's available in full quarts, not those little dinky bottles. And if you're a real serious one, you want the full quart size. And it's a very light wine. It's a soft, light, beautiful rosé. And the name of it is Costa do Sol. Costa do Sol. And it's the only Portuguese table wine ever to win a gold medal at the international contest in Budapest. And I've always, you know, wondered about these contests where they win gold medals, you know. I wonder how they... Can you see the judges reeling around, bombed to the ears after 4 hours of judging, you know? That's a good one. Get a medal there. You know? I'm sorry. But you ought to try Costa do Sol if you want to do a little wine judging yourself. You ought to try a whole quart, you know. You don't want to... You don't want to be fair to the wine, you know. Taste it all the way to the bottom. You know, and then when they come and mop, well, here it is. Yes, indeed. Costa do Sol Vintage Rosé is imported by the Allens of M.S. Walker, Inc., Boston, Mass.
This spring, it's your turn to swing. All five King Carol record shops are holding a swinging spring sale of RCA records and tapes. RCA Records has the most important catalog in the entire world, with the greatest stars in every field of music, from Perry Como to the Guess Who, from Harry Nilsson to Leontine Price, from Elvis Presley to Arturo Toscanini, and from Eddie Arnold to Caruso. During this RCA swinging spring sale, King Carol is featuring every album in the RCA catalog for the incredibly low sale price of $3.39. Our regular discount price is $4.95. All on sale now for $3.39, the lowest price for RCA albums in years. All Camden and Victrola albums, as well as cartridge tapes and cassettes, are being sold at comparable low prices. So get in on the swinging spring sale at five great King Carol stores. 42nd Street at 6th Avenue, 42nd Street at 10th Avenue, 3rd Avenue at 57th Street, 609 5th Avenue, and Main Street in Flushing.
Hey, probably, now, again, remember, this is, this must be listened to. I make a prediction that Fritz the Cat, which is the big X-rated cartoon that everybody's talking about, which is now showing at the Fine Arts, at the UA East, and the Victoria Theaters, will probably be a milestone. I don't make many comments of that order. I'm making no value judgment on it either, but it's wildly funny. A curious example of movie making, animation, and all of it. And Fritz the Cat is the first X-rated cartoon in history. So, you know, just forget it. If you're a kid, you're not going to get in to see this. That's the end of it. But it is a very curious experience in movie going. And I'm just laying it out there for you. You may dig it, you may flip over it, you may hate it, as is the case with almost anything that's controversially interesting. So I'm just throwing it out to you. If you want a curious experience, see Fritz the Cat. You may dig it totally. It's now playing at three theaters, the Fine Arts, United Artists East, and the Victoria Theaters. Fritz the Cat, and I'm not kidding, it is X-rated. X-rated. Yeah, I just feel that way tonight. You know, that's a problem. You know, you get to the end of the week, you know, and you don't feel like, you don't care whether school keeps or not. You have that feeling sometimes? In fact, school doesn't keep often in most offices. Yeah, for those of you who are not in New York, you don't know what's been happening probably. And I'm going to, I feel sorry for you guys out there in the hinterland, because you don't really see, you know, the trend of modern life until you get right here in the middle of it all where the action is. You know, I see this a sign the other day down the subway. It says, workers, it says, line up and march. Demand a 30-day week with a 30-hour week. It says, demand a 30-hour week with a 40-hour pay. Huh, that's a joke. Well, that's been going on here in New York for at least 2 years that I know of. In fact, most offices I know are almost impossible to contact much after about 3 o'clock Wednesday. That's when the weekend starts. And they don't get, they take the long weekend, of course, which means they, it's silly to call on Monday. They're not back yet. So if you have to call between 10 and 3 on Tuesday, and you may get a guy. I'm just telling you the truth. It's kind of a joke, you know. And here it is, you know, it's Friday. I think I'm the only one of the rats around. You know what happens when the mice go out to play. That's right. And that's one of the reasons I like Friday around here. It's absolutely dead silent here. The switchboards are out, everything. They take up the floors. And it's all done late Thursday night. Late, that's about 3 o'clock, 2:30. And that one guy I know here in New York, it's not here at this place, unfortunately. We don't have guys with that kind of imagination. But one guy I know has been on a lunch hour now for over a week and a half. And it's an extended lunch. It's what he calls a business lunch. And he's having it in Atlantic City in this hotel overlooking the boardwalk. And it's a business lunch with a very interesting lady from one of the agencies. And they're talking about a lot of business there. And it's an extended one. Of course, that's it's the kind of lunch that I kind of enjoy. What are you laughing about, Bill? You work on the hourly rate, for God's sakes. You're never going to get into that world. But nevertheless, let's put it this way. That's one of the prerogatives of command. You know, the general doesn't have to do the stuff that the privates have to do. But then he has great concerns that the privates don't have to, you know, like you got to get your uniform tailored and all that. And you got to think about those things. And you got to buy your own stuff. You know, the privates don't. They just go down to the supply room and they hand it out to them. But these are all things that have to be considered. Incidentally, another thing that's happening in the business world here in New York is the sudden influx of uniforms. Oh, yeah, it hasn't hit this place. We're still working back in this organization here. We're still roughly about, we're in the post-Scrooge era. We're just past the roll-top desk. In this organization, no, that's not bad. I don't mind that because a certain amount of inefficiency, I kind of appreciate that. It's the efficient. I'll never forget the late Rube Goldberg one time. You remember who Rube Goldberg was? Well, I was at a meeting once. It was at a dinner. See, it was at this organization, this cartoonist society. See, and they were serving. They had about 200 people, I seen, there serving. They're supposed to be serving this dinner. And Rube and I were getting our shrimp cocktail just when the rest of the table was already on its cigars. And, you know, they were already down to their third brandy. They had the steak and everything else. It was all totally confused. You know, the guys come running out. And I looked at Goldberg and says, boy, they sure ain't organized here, are they, Rube? And he's sitting next to me, and he had this strange look. Goldberg looked always a little bit like one of the characters in this cartoon, a big Adam's apple, and he's leaning back and said, well, I'll tell you. I says, what do you tell me, Rube? He always used to set up his punchlines. I said, well, I'll tell you. He says, if Hitler hadn't been organized, nothing would have happened over there. So I like it this way. Organize these guys, and we're in trouble. That's right. So a little disorganization never hurt anybody. It's the organized guy. When I walk into an office, when I see nothing but a flat, clean, shiny desk in front of that guy and gleaming, rimless glasses, Whew, the milk of human kindness curdles into bottle. I know I'm facing a dangerous man. He's got chromium tusks. And he's clean and shiny. Oh, yeah, this is the kind of guy I am. I tell you, he's got zippers on his zippers. Yes, sir. By the way, speaking of that, I shouldn't bring this up. No, I won't bring it up. The occasion of the spectacular zipper caper. I won't bring that up. No, sir. Oh, no. I did. I better not. I won't. Not at this hour. The kids are still up. But nevertheless, I'll tell you, the one thing I find, though, in the case of organization, is that it can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. Now, this organization here is just a little bit past. Scrooge wouldn't be out of place here with his roll-top desk and his quill pen. He wouldn't, you know. No, he wouldn't. You know, probably he's working somewhere on the third floor, maybe up on the 28th. I don't know. You know, maybe the 23rd. I suspect he's up there, his pen scratching away, and his assistant out there begging, hey, you know, please, may I have the day off? You know, my son died. Hey, what do you mean your son died? It's the third one this year. Get out of here. You know, but that's all right. I don't mind that. Six of one, half of those other. Yeah, you do the best you can. But nevertheless, in some corporations, efficiency has reached such a high level. And I visited one the other day, a very elegant agency, see. And, of course, everybody's been influenced by television in this world. You can't help it. We all are. I mean, I wonder how many women are now flipping their hair around over the top of their head because they see those chicks on TV do it all the time, you know, after they take the great shampoo, you know, and their hair flies. And a lot of people never thought of doing that until they saw it on TV and had her flipping their head, you know. Doing all, yeah, we're very much influenced by TV. And I ran into it, a real great case. I'm visiting this agency the other day. They had this, it was a Flim Flam Ogilvy and Bullard, great agency, and I went up there to see these guys, FFB, LMD, they call themselves. I don't know what it refers to, but I just went up there, see, and they had me, they wanted me to do this commercial. And so I went in to see the guy, and he's sitting behind a desk there, and I see he's got this elegant dark green sport jacket, beautifully cut sport jacket, see. And I noticed there's a crest on the pocket there. I figured he belonged to some country club, something like that, see, so... He says, just hold a minute, fella. I want to call in Artie. He's from the creative department. I'll call in Artie, and we'd like to talk about the layout and the storyboard. Artie, would you please come in? He's here. Bap, he presses a button, and in comes Artie, and he's got the same kind of green jacket, I notice. I figure they're in the same country club, you know. He's got a little crest. And the next thing I know, three other guys are calling. They all got the same green jacket. Well, finally, I had to say it. I says, hey, what's with the green jackets there? Oh, let's see. It's the team blazer, actually. I said, the team blazer? You guys all play softball or something together? Oh, no, my God, no. It's the FFB&D. It's the Flim Flam Ogilvy and Bullard team jacket.
They've got a team jacket. They're all on the team.
Well, of course, they've been seeing television, you know. They see, you know, when Jim appears, you know, on the wide, wide world of sports. He says, now, this is Jim reporting from Garmisch-Partenkirchen. He's got this jacket, you know, says ABC on it. Krashenko's got the same jacket. Well, now it's beginning to spread. So the agency, they all come in with their green jacket. It'll let you know. See, and by the way, the enlisted men have a different color. So if you're a full-fledged accountant executive, you got the dark green one. It's like the master's jacket. It's mastered. It's based on the master's jacket, you know, that Jack Nicklaus wins every year, you know, with the master's. Dark green one, see. Well, the enlisted men have a sort of a sackcloth and ashes color. It's very symbolic. You ought to see the difference between the enlisted men's, the washroom and the executive washroom. The fixtures are even different, gang. La-da-tee-tee-tee-tee. I don't have to display that, do I, for you? La-da-tee-tee-tee-tee. Oh, incidentally, that reminds me, I wonder how many of you keep up with develops from the scientific world, which only bring out the things about us. You see, one of the things that science is doing constantly is studying other creatures to discover clues to the nature of man. You understand that? Of course, that's why they study camels. And that's right. There's been a lot of studying going on recently among that world. The ruminants, they call that. What is the ruminants? Well, those are animals that chew a lot and spit. And certain people I know do exactly that. And that's why they have those signs in the subway. So, well, yes, we have a lot of relationships with the animal world. And see whether or not this fits any people you know. They've been doing a lot of studying in the pig world, for example. I mean, real pigs, walking around pigs, see? And pig farmers, here's an agriculturist at the Ridgetown College of Agricultural Technology. Can't you see them singing their school song, the Ridgetown College of Agricultural Technology? Moo, 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 we love them cows. Oink, 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 and the piggies too. R-C-A-T. Rarver Ridgetown College of Agricultural Technology. Over the line we'll go. You know, it gets kind of silly after a while, but nevertheless, so much does, doesn't it? Hey, excuse me, Bill, may I interrupt you there for a minute there? May I interrupt? Would you please reset that in there? I feel a song coming on. Is that what you want? All right, bring it on there, and then I'll tell you about the pigs immediately after I get this out of my gut. Would you please? Oh, after you've gone, baby. Let us eat you after I'm gone and not forgotten. Oh, baby, you're gonna miss me. You're gonna miss me, true. Because I'm the only man that you've done ever knew, man. Baby, Chick, Wowie, the only one. After I was gone. Yes, sweetie, you're gonna lay around there and you're gonna wonder just what the hell happened. Well, I'll tell you what happened. I just took off like a big fat speckled bird, and I'm gonna say that, I will do that, I think we'll teach you a lesson. I took off down Route 66 with the old Jaguar trailing smoke, and I ain't coming back. Ba 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 bee. So you better appreciate me while I was here, honey. Yeah. Because there's a lot of walking around scratching guys out there that don't have half of what I got to give you. Ba ba doo 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 doo. La la doo doo. Doo 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 doo. Hold it there. That's enough of that. That's silly. I know, we're grown-up people. Now let's cut out this horsing around. Crying out loud. We should be talking about earthquakes in Peru, poverty in Chile, and all those real important stuff. Oh, you want to hear about the pigs, eh? Well, all right, now I want you to listen to this. Because there may be somebody in your house that this may apply to. Pig farmers should understand that pigs have their own social system, says Dr. J.R. Morris, a livestock specialist at the Ridgetown College of Agricultural Technology in Ontario, Canada. That's official. It's Canada. Mr. Morris said in an interview recently that happy pigs are fatter and more profitable pigs, and that farmers should understand the social setup of pigs. Now, there's a very definite social setup in pigs. For instance, says Mr. Morris, pigs have a very complete social order, which involves leaders, followers, patsies. You know, there's always one pig there just kicking around. He's the schlemiel in the crowd, you know. That's right. That's a fact. There's always one. Power struggles, gigantic battles between, you know, various factions, environmental stresses, which cause, you know, certain pigs to worry a lot, gripe, and even attempt to write novels. And they also tend to ostracize pigs which ignore the social structure. In other words, a guy walks, you know, there's always a hippie pig, you know, that walks around, you know, he's sloppy, and he... Yeah, you know, I guess a hippie pig would be quite the opposite. He takes a lot of baths and stuff, you know. And he's very neat. And all the other pigs say, what are you trying to prove, huh? There he goes, you know. He's looking down his snout at the rest of the pigs. Because they're being pigs, you know, rolling around, snorting and grunting in the weeds. And you know how pigs are. Well, this is not lost on me. Not lost on me at all. A lot of that works here. You can see who's being ostracized and who isn't around this place. You certainly can. Oh, one of the most important things you've got to learn in this business, in any business, is dress is very important. Very important. Oh, yes. If you do not dress properly for the group that you find that you're in, you will not be considered in that group no matter what you say or how you act. Now, I mean in any group. For example, if your crowd happens to lay around down in some cellar, you know, down on Greenwich Street there, or, you know, down around Houston Street, you know, and they sit around, they smoke, you know, they blow pot all day long, you know, and they're dropping acid in the whole scene, you know, and you're in this crowd. See, you're one of them. See, you got, you know, the whole scene. Well, I'll tell you this. Can you imagine how long you would get by in that crowd if every day you showed up for a hard day's work, blowing pot and laying around and griping and stuff? If you showed up wearing your Robert Hall, elegantly tailored Edwardian double knit stretch black Brooks Brothers type suit, and with the nice Fabian collars hanging down there, you know, and you got a elegantly tied tie, forget it. They'd kick you out of that. You just couldn't make it. That, do you agree? Okay. Conversely. If you showed up at your job, you know, and you're working in the cost accounting department at IBM, you know, and you showed up and you've got this, you know, and you're wearing that burnous that you made, you know, that time when you got the plans from Popular Mechanics on how to make your own burnous, and you got this burlap burnous, and you've got love beads, not even love beads, you've got mystic symbols that you have cleverly hemstitched into it. And you're carrying your mandolin. And you come there and you got these Greek sandals, you know, the kind with the straps that come all the way up around your kneecaps, you know. You come into your job, and you say, can you imagine how long you get by with that? Although that's changing in certain areas. In certain ad agencies, that's changing. It's worth your life in certain ad agencies I know these days to come in wearing a Brooks Brothers suit. I mean, it's down the air shafts real quick, man. And so all these things, all these social conditions are changing. We can report with great alacrity, friends, that if you think that you're in, you're probably already out. that's the truth. So you just gotta forget about being in and out. You just gotta do it. You know, just do your thing, see? And pretty soon, your thing will come up. It'll only be up for about maybe 8 or 10 milliseconds, but in that brief moment, you will be flashing for the sun, and you will be interviewed by Johnny Carson. But hang in there. Just hang in there. It's like my Aunt Clara. She was really ahead of her time. I mean, everybody used to laugh at my Aunt Clara. Tell you this. But today, Aunt Clara, if Aunt Clara was working the scene today, she would be the biggest lady on... She would be the biggest lady on West 3rd Street. Aunt Clara was an early food cuckoo. Aunt Clara really was. And I can remember Aunt Clara saying things, well, I'll tell you, they put all this chemical in things, and that's why I grow my own dill seeds. And she used to sit and polish her forks, and then finally she got so suspicious of any kind of utensils that Aunt Clara used to eat with her own version of chopsticks. I say, did you be right in today? Yes. Oh, yes. Many true organic food people are realizing that it's not only the food. Do you realize that many times you put your organic food friends on a non-organic plate? Have you thought about that? You have. Like hell, you have. I'm putting it in your head right now. I don't care if you thought about that. You got it here. Now all of a sudden, they go, oh yeah, that's right. Hey, you know, oh that's right. You spend all that time, you know, traveling all the way over to this little dingy shop over on Second Avenue in the Village to buy an organic string bean. You know, and you bring it back. What do? You put it on a non-organic plate. Well, do you realize the chemicals that are in that plate? That's right. And then you chew them with your own teeth. And do you realize those fillings in your teeth are non-organic? Why, there's many a filling you've got in your tooth that's filled with all kinds of pollutants. Why, do you realize what the silver itself, for heaven's sakes, is a pollutant? You know what happens if you drink water that has too high a content of dissolved silver in it? Oh, my God. You don't know what that'll do to your liver. And you've got it stuck right in your teeth.
That fake dentist 5 years ago put silver fillings in your teeth. You have non-organic teeth. Why are you going to turn? Why the air itself is non-organic. Do you realize that? Non-organic.
Oh. Aunt Clara, where are you today? Your hour of glory, you were far ahead of your time, Aunt Clara. Aunt Clara, I'm sorry. All those snide remarks people made about you. You're the first lady in the neighborhood to try blackstrap molasses ice cream. That's right. Aunt Clara was ahead of her time. You know, I know a place down in the village where you can get Acapulco red ice cream. You see that place, Jerry?
Why do I know all about this? Maybe it's the kind... That's the truth. What is it with me? How come I'm the only one? Everyone says, I see.
Plastic telephones that come with an out-of-order sign on them. Well, eventually, believe me, you'll be able to buy an inflatable 1963 Ford Galaxy with worn valves, with a bad transmission. You know, it's a fake. Fake Ford that won't go, you know? No transmission. Well, I mean, you know, it's in the cards. It's all there. It's all there for you to see. Spread out there, you can see it coming at you like Kodachrome slides, one after the other. Oh, Aunt Clara, where are you tonight? You were ahead of your time. I could see my Aunt Clara now, hunched over her silverware, polishing it. She carried her own cloth. Never know what they're doing with that silverware. You never know. In fact, she carried her own knife and fork around with her. Until she read an article one time that knives and forks are made out of metal. Metal, yes, you know. The minute, microscopic quantities of silver are beginning to come off in her astringently grown, organically grown pomegranates. So she gave that up, and then she took to eating with her hands. Then, of course, she discovered that during the day, as you walk around, you touch many things made out of metal. God knows what. And so she washed her hands. And then she discovered the terrible fact that many soaps are non-organic. Well, then she began to... She was right up against the wall at that point, you know. I mean, this can drive you right down... Until eventually you realize that life itself is a dangerous proposition. Life itself. Oh, Aunt Clara, thou hast missed thy time. Bring on the bugles, sing out the songs. Yes, play the ancient dirges for all the past and gone men of all time as they marched across this poor, sad, spinning orb. Yes, marching, marching. Marching for what? Who knows? We got about as much direction in our lives as the average cockroach, and you know it. Well, he's got more, maybe. Because he doesn't worry. He doesn't worry, that's right. Of course, we don't have any proof about that. It's easy enough to conjecture that the cockroach doesn't worry. But I've seen some awful, funny, nervous movements of certain antennae late at night when I flip the switch on and I catch a couple of them running around the sink. So I don't know whether their life is so completely trouble-free. Yeah, the day that the average dachshund begins to become introspective is the day that the first dachshund poetry will be evolving in that tiny pea brain. So, you know, six of one, half dozen the other. So I felt from time to time, though, that... No, on the other hand, I don't know. I don't know. This man goes marching in this vast stream of people. Maybe the pharaohs were right. I mean, they put everybody to work building a pyramid. Gave them something to do, you know. You could see it happen. When all was over and done with, there was the pyramid, at least, you know. I could see these two guys standing in front of the pier. One says, this is a boondoggle. What a joke. What the hell are good is this thing? Another one says, I don't know. But it kind of looks good standing there. You know, it's a great tourist attraction, too, you know, after all. Good night.
night, tourists. This is WOR New York. You stay tuned for Lester Smith and the news.
News and detail on the hour from the WOR newsroom. The potent North Vietnamese army attack below the demilitarized zone in Vietnam is stepping up pressure on the Saigon government forces. An apparent attempt to surround Quang Tri City from the north and south made headway when fire-based Bastogne, 12 miles outside the old imperial city of Hue, was taken by North Vietnamese troops. The firebase was abandoned by the South Vietnamese overnight as artillery fire poured into it. Meanwhile, a South Vietnamese defensive line 2 miles north of Quang Tri City is reported still holding Saturday morning Vietnam time. For 2 full days, artillery fire has been hitting that line. An estimated 40,000 troops from the north are trying to take Quang Tri by moving up from Hue and down from the demilitarized zone. Meanwhile, refugees by the thousands are fleeing south out of Quang Tri toward Hue. Those fleeing included civilians and, according to Associated Press, hundreds of South Vietnamese soldiers. Hash on the auto carpet led to arrest today of 5 persons in Queens for allegedly receiving a 100-pound shipment of hashish from overseas. Customs agents in Boston reported finding traces of the drug on the carpet of a French car. It was being unloaded from a freighter that came in from Spain. The agents followed the car's driver, Phyllis Lee Spencer of Ibiza, Spain, as she drove from Boston to New York. Then, federal narcotics agents arrested Mrs. Spencer, John White of Forsyth Street, Manhattan, William Wassman of Brooklyn, Helen Scott of Manhattan, and John Taylor, also of Manhattan. All were seized on drug charges in the house at 120-46, 227th Street in Queens. Police in the Bronx report tonight that 2 schoolteachers were robbed in the faculty lounge by a young man at Public School 42 on Washington Avenue. The attack occurred this morning when the young man, about 19, used a knife to rob one of the teachers. As he was about to attack her, a second woman teacher entered the lounge. She was forced to remove her clothes. She was robbed. However, the teachers were not harmed. The attacker escaped. He was described as about
5 foot 6 inches tall, about 120 pounds, having a shaved head.